velvety soft bath hands and some real thud in the back, leading to moments like this. And McConaughey, and he's snaking his way through. And in Clark de Glanville, fucking a singer is standing, waiting, pouncing. Big Joe makes his a double. Oh, he's gone through on his own. Josh Matabesi, ender of worlds, destroyer of walls. Spencer whips it away. Beautifully done. Gathered, scored. The two young bucks who underline their love of this place earlier in the week. Orlando Bailey and Max Ajomo conspire in thrilling fashion.
Hello and welcome to the Bath Rugby Plug, the rugby podcast by the fans for the fans, plugging the boys in blue, black and white. My name is Gabriel. The run-in has begun and I'm joined as ever by my good friend and fellow Bath fan, Tom. Tom, the Prem is back. What a weekend it was. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. I'm a little bit jaded. As we mentioned last week, I'm on a different time zone, so couldn't sleep for an hour or so after that game, which meant for a very, very late bedtime. So yeah, a bit tired this morning, but it's a good feeling as well. It was a properly exciting game. The rep looked rocking, and unlike some of our main competitors for the top four and beyond, we are off to a good start, a very strong start to the run-in.
Yeah, absolutely. You were feeling a little bit jaded after the game. I'm certainly feeling a little jaded this morning, a slight pull behind the curtain. It is 7 a.m. on Monday morning as we record. The things that we do to bring you the best blue, black and white content.
Contracted to do so, mate. Contracted to do so. Remember that.
Yeah, this is the Bath Rugby Plug brought to you by Black and White Butchers. If you were at the Rec on Sunday, it was a glorious looking day. Some great rugby. Bath pulling away in spectacular fashion. And I hope you got a chance to savour a blue, black and white hog roast before the game. They run out so quickly, you've got to get there early. But if you are at the Rec for any games remaining, please do check it out. And thanks to Dunny and his continued support on that one.
It's been too long, hasn't it, really? It feels like ages since I've been to a game. You're off to the Stoop on Saturday, are you?
Yeah.
So that'll be the first one for you in a little while. And hopefully, fingers crossed, and I saw your tweet that you put out after the game, G. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we might have a couple more opportunities to go in the first couple of weeks of June. So long may this season continue.
Yeah, man, I think when we recorded the podcast last week, kind of previewing or late kind of last week ahead of the Sale game, previewing the run-in, I didn't really believe it. I don't know why. It just felt like we were going to slip up somewhere along the way. But looking at the table now and the way the results fell over what was a brilliant, brilliant weekend of rugby, the dry weather absolutely helping, some great stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're 2 points off the top. Northampton have got to play Saracens this weekend. Like, yeah, we are right in this. And yeah, five games to go and probably the second best performance out of any side we put in on Sunday.
Yeah.
We are right in this. And yeah, for those two dates actually did slide into my diary on Sunday afternoon, actually, because I've kind of not wanted to firm them up, but they are well and truly in there now. And absolutely no plans will be being made for kind of late May, early June.
Yeah, they've got to be in there. I mean, you know, as we were saying last week, the goalposts have moved, and now anything other than top four finish will be seen as a disappointment, which is crazy. I think, you know, it was a hell of a nervy game. It really was until about last 10 minutes or so when we pulled away. And yeah, I guess just before we get into it, like, I think part of the nerves for me was just the context of the games that had happened that weekend. You know, you get Saints faltering in the fashion they did at Ashton Kate. You get Leicester losing to Gloucester for the first time at Welford Road since 2007. You get Saris doing what they did to Quins at Spurs Stadium. It felt really hard to gauge where we were going to be. And it felt that teams that had lost players during the Six Nations had probably been, you know, negatively affected, even though there have not been games in the interim, because the other guys were coming in, you know, so fresh, like Bristol and Gloucester, etc. So yeah, it was nervy. It was tit for tat. And I thought we did look rusty early doors, but the way we grew into that game and closed it out in the fashion we did to take all 4 points, I think we'll look back hopefully on that last period of 15, 20, 25 minutes after the Lawrence yellow card as maybe key to the season. So yeah, really, really proud of the boys.
Yeah, and 42-24, ultimately winners if you've been living under a rock. That was the final score, and Bath taking 5 points and importantly denying Sale anything, which looked unlikely with kind of 20 minutes to go, and we'll get into that detail there. But I think you're right. These games, the games that are just like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, are the worst games to watch. If you're a neutral and the BT or TNT guys were reveling in it, it's a great thing because no team's ever too far ahead. You know, you always feel like the other team can strike. But if you're kind of living and dying by everything one team does, they are just the worst kind of possible games to watch because you just never feel like you're really comfortable or relaxed because Sale looked like they could score at will, and kind of from a Sale point of view, Bath looked like they could score at will. So yeah, I think we titled the previous podcast "It Won't Be Fun Along the Way," and I think the first weekend of Premiership rugby being back as a Bath fan wasn't much fun until about 60-65 minutes, and then I think we kind of showed our class. Let's get into the game in a little bit more detail then, Tom, and starting off, Bath looking really, really potent and dangerous in attack. Matt Gallagher scored early, and they had another one that they almost scored in that first kind of 5-10 minutes, looking really threatening.
Yeah, I mean, maybe before just touch on selection as well, because we spoke about it last week, and yeah, both teams getting in pretty well, full worked as we expected they would. Russell straight back in, Lawrence Underhill, maybe slightly surprisingly, Urbano, Redpath. Will Stewart really the only guy not to be included in the 23? I don't know whether there's some sort of niggle there. I would have, you know, Archie Griffin obviously returning from his own Six Nations, but I'm surprised that he wasn't in there. And then Sale likewise, you know, a very strong side. George Ford straight back into the 10 shirt to pair with Manu Tuilagi. And I think, like, listening to Alex Sanderson before the game, a bit of a sense of desperation. You know, they're sat, what was it, down in eighth place in must-win territory, coming off the back of their worst run of form in 7 years. So it felt like two teams with a lot on the line. I think every game this season will. And yeah, we started off brightly, as you said. What I think particularly impressed me was just how crisp some of the handling was and the way that the guys were really cohesive in attack, obviously after, you know, a lot of time apart, and guys like Russell, Redpath and Ollie Lawrence in completely different camps, right? So they would have been playing against each other rather than with each other. So yeah, it was a bright start with ball in hand. We got a little bit lucky. I thought we got the rub of the green in you know, the first sort of quarter of the game. Clear forward pass for the Matt Gallagher try from the Finn Russell offload. You know, TMO possibly bottled it a bit, given what had happened with Austin Healey earlier on in the weekend, which is a dreadful look. A couple of knock-ons as well here and there. So yeah, felt like we at any moment could open them up, but at the same time, during that first half, we looked a bit fragile in certain areas. I thought the intensity of the defensive line wasn't where we would expect it to be. To be honest, particularly against Sale, where the gain line's so important, the line out was pretty poor for most of the game, really, until Elliot Stook came on. I thought shored that up. And I thought also losing the aerial battle as well, G. Such an important area in our game plan. I thought Sale just had the had the edge there as well. So some bright areas, but looking a little bit rusty in others.
Yeah, I think that's a good assessment of that first half in particular. I think, yeah, we definitely did get the rub of the green from certain decisions. There was a Sale kind of shift drive maul at one point, which they ruled out for obstruction, which looked pretty ticky-tacky. I'm not going to kind of complain too much about that. I think, yeah, the part of our game which was great was the way that we ran with it and the way that we kind of attacked. And yeah, I think that's so much credit for that needs to go to Lee Blackett, right? Because there's clearly a structure in place whereby these guys can just slot in and know what they're doing. They've not had barely any time together. But because of what the kind of work they did in the lead up to the Six Nations and kind of prior to that period with Lee Blackett, and then the work that he would have been doing in and around that with other boys like Ajoma, like Lando Bailey, Sam Harris, and with Big Joe in and around the periphery of that, it's obviously so kind of well-drilled and well-structured and everybody knows the role of the position they're playing that they are able just to slot in. And you're right, they look so potent. The Gallagher tribe was great and the Big Joe tribe was fantastic. You know, Finn Russell, who we'll definitely come and talk more about, we need to, kind of manipulating that defence inside, outside. Cam Redpath looking really threatening and yeah, Dunny getting involved as well as Joe crashed over. But I think Joe was kind of the epitome, really. He summed up that first half performance because, yeah, TNT were all over him and he looked fantastic in attack, but he just, him and generally Bath looked a little bit soft, a little bit fragile, and kind of whenever Sale attacked, they also looked pretty threatening. You know, Manu crashed over and we went in 14-10 up. We do need to talk about Ben Spencer's try-saving tackle in that first half, which was, yeah, just wonderful moment, Tom.
Outrageous as one of the smallest guys on the pitch is able to do that. Kind of winded himself in the process. It's not the first time we've seen him do that as well. I mean, I don't know what his weight division would be in judo or Greco-Roman wrestling or whatever it would be, but I'm sure he'd be pretty decent at that as well, because to have a core strength and like balance to keep up, you know, a decent, not a big guy, but a strong, powerful guy in Aaron Reed. Aaron Reed, or was it Roebuck? I think it was Aaron Reed.
Yeah, Reed.
To keep him up was just incredible. And, you know, that's a stone cold 5-pointer, probably a 7-pointer with the way that George Forbes was striking it. So, yeah, I think, yeah, just on Big Joe as well, it's always the case, right, that with him that we've seen when he's playing well, he is so dangerous. And I thought some of the intensity he brought to the line, him and Ollie Lawrence with those kind of lines where he cuts back almost parallel to the gain line, are just incredible. But he doesn't really do the hard yards and the work off the ball, the positional play, obviously the kicking game's not there. And defensively, if he can run and break the line in the way that he does and crash over defenders, he should be leveling people. And if he's going to come out of the line and try and smash people as he does, you've got to make sure they stay hit. And he doesn't do that. So, you know, he does the flashy stuff and the commentary love him. And it's great to see him with some confidence back. But I'd like to see him nailing those defensive basics a little bit more, because you expose so much space if you miss tackles like that.
Yeah, I do think that. I do think we are so much harsher on Joe than we are almost on any Bath player. And I think the reason is because there is just like the best winger in England there. Like, you can see it.
Yeah.
Like, there is such a great player there. And it's just like we're way harsher than him than we are on Muir, for example, or any of the other wingers that we have in the squad, because he could be like, yeah, one of the best wingers in the world if he just harnessed what he has. And I think he had a good game, right? And I think we can't be too
negative.
It's just so frustrating, because what he does, you just see it, but then he just can't do it in all aspects of his game for the whole 80 minutes. And yeah, he's just, it's there, but it's just not quite there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe one of the kind of interesting matchup, which was definitely billed beforehand, but I thought coming to fruition as well, was kind of the Russell Lawrence axis up against the Ford to Alangi axis, both of which look very sharp, right? I mean, we'll come on to talk about Russell if you want, but I think the quality of the passing from both Russell and Ford at the line was exceptional. Yeah. And makes it so hard to defend. And then the lines taken and the power from both Manny Tuilagi and Lawrence were exceptional. I'm going to missing Tuilagi playing in the Premiership. Grew up watching him for England, and he's been a special player. Not often enough, to be honest, with the physical attributes that he also has. But yeah, to see him kind of skip through the line and then to make Matt Gallagher look that easy to beat when we know how good he is, particularly in his own Premiership, was something special. So I think that double matchup of players was pretty box office, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was Russell's best game in a Bath shirt. For me, without question, I thought he was brilliant. I can't believe he didn't win Man of the Match, given the number of times we've seen him win Man of the Match, when for me it's been a little bit questionable. Yeah, I thought he was wonderful. Like, yeah, his manipulation of that Sale defensive line to create all of those tries was just incredible to watch. The way that he threw the inside ball for the first try, then dummied it and went himself, and then threw it outside for the second try. His break then on another dummy just before his left-footed drop goal. The way that he let the ball from Spencer just fly across his body for the third try. The way he kicked was brilliant, both off the tee and out of hand. And yeah, the way he just controlled that game, that's what a million-pound fly-off should do.
Mm.
I've been critical. I don't think we've seen enough of that. But if that's the Finn Russell we get when it's dry, and if Finn Russell were going to get in the running, then yeah, we are.
Yeah, I mean,
because that would be brilliant.
We've been reticent probably to get on the bandwagon in the same way as the media.
I think that was right.
But I do think that, you know, I've never been any doubt in my mind that he's one of the best tens in the world. Well, right up there. And we've seen that in Scotland colours. We saw that in Racing colours. We haven't seen that for Bath in, or at least for full games. We've seen, in my opinion, glimpses of it, and even more than glimpses of it. We've seen very good periods of play that he's strung together. I think, yeah, that was the game where, possibly off the back of some confidence from Scotland, particularly off the tee, I think, he looks to have found his kicking boots. I think we're starting to see what Bath fans probably expected to see a little bit more often. But he's just fantastic. He's just, as he is for Scotland, he's just the brain and the eyes and the ears of the whole organism. There was that bit of analysis that Austin Healey identified. I don't know if the TMO was listening to this bit, but it was good analysis. It was about Tuilagi kind of stepping a bit wider and, you know, him knowing essentially that he was going to fly up off his line. And then off the back of that, he kind of created that gap for, admittedly, a forward pass, but for Matt Gallagher, as you say, to let the ball go across his chest when Ben Spencer has just made one of his very rare mistakes and thrown an interception pass that flat to the line. Again, just brilliant. We saw his running game as well, as you said, with that break.
Mm.
And then to have the audacity, confidence. I mean, I still want to say skill level as well, even though it was an absolute chunk of a drop goal. To have those three things to nail that and just settle us down a bit. It's been tit for tat. It's 24 all. Let's get the set piece is starting to work for us. Let's just get 6 points ahead. But you just take that option. I thought he was absolutely fantastic. And then, yeah, 1 out of 7 overall and a couple of delightful strikes from well out wide. I thought it was it was outstanding. And it was reminiscent of the way that George Ford used to orchestrate that obviously very, very talented and cohesive backline that we had back in 14-15.
Mm.
He just brings the whole piece together.
Yeah, I think you've got to watch the full games, right, to make an evaluation. And I'm not going to kind of judge it on what he's done elsewhere, what he's done for Scotland. You know, you've got to watch what he did for Bath. And I think we've been, well, I certainly think we've been fair on the assessment. I think, yeah, that was brilliant. And I think it was brilliant despite perhaps Spencer not having his best game. We'll come on to talk, you know, about the second half in detail and the tries, but I thought whilst we're on the halfbacks, I thought Spencer, yeah, his kind of turnover try was great, but I thought he rushed so much, and it did feel like he was kind of almost trying to score on every phase. And yeah, you know, I don't think he was his best game kind of in attack. And I thought Russell calmed it down and Russell kind of led that performance in attack. It was really, really good.
Yeah, because I think he's obviously when we're on the front, when we're getting front football, when we're stringing phases together, clearly he wants, you know, to give Russell quick ball because that's when there are opportunities and there's space and there's dogleg. But I think it's probably not his natural game. His natural game for the majority of his career, what he has played is a slower pace of game, a more kicking heavy game. And he can no doubt do the sort of, you know, Peter Stringer of 10 years ago job where he gets to the base and he gets it away so quickly. He can do that, but at times, yeah, he just didn't pick the right option. And that was kind of most starkly illustrated by the by the interception. Should we mention, before we come to the second half, just one thing that I thought happened that was, you know, fairly significant was Alfie Barbary was replaced at halftime by Yakub Kutsir. Initially, we were told it was tactical, and then JVG confirmed that it was, you know, Alfie had a tight hamstring, so was brought off. But I thought a fairly significant moment.
Absolutely. Kutsir, really, really impressive, making kind of plenty of breaks, running hard in traffic. Yeah, I thought he made a really, really big difference. And Barbary was quite quiet in that first half. So, yeah, that was key.
He's a violent, violent man with ball in hand. I mean, you know, he probably has nearly 10 kilos on Alfie Barbary. He's a big guy. I wouldn't say it's far off. Maybe not, but he's bigger bodied for me. He maybe isn't harder to bring down, but he's a big old slice. And I thought, yeah, he was marauding around the place. And just added, I think I said to you on when we were watching it, we were messaging, just felt like we needed something or someone to come on. I thought it might come in the form of Miles Reed to bring a bit of intensity and just kind of almost to wake everyone up, because we were becoming comfortable with this tit for tat rugby, and obviously that's risky, right?
Yeah, he was really, really good, certainly. So second half started with kind of Spencer's interception, which you mentioned, and both teams were still getting a lot of joy out wide, you know, with this rushing up defence that both teams were kind of employing. I thought Sale in particular were definitely employing it. We saw Joe getting his try after that kind of missed pass from Spencer across Russell, which Russell left. And Sale then responded with the Dugdale try after the Ollie Lawrence yellow card, which was really, really weak defensively. Your boy Will Muir kind of all at sea a little bit there and just quite poor to concede the yellow card and then let them score within about 90 seconds after it from about five phases. And at that point then, Tom, it is 22-all. We're down to 14 men and the game is absolutely in the balance. You look at the final score, 42-24. How were Bath able to kick on in that final period? What proved the difference between the two sides there? Because seasons are changed on that. We get Sale get none. That could so easily have swung either way. What made the difference?
I think the catalyst for it was that our set piece started to take a little bit of control. Mm. You know, we had a couple of scrum penalties. The first kind of got again getting us close to allow Finn Russell to take that first penalty from in front of the sticks that took us 3 points ahead. We then had the drop goal from just created from nothing from Finn Russell. And then off the resulting kickoff, I think we had a second scrum penalty followed by a maul penalty, at which point you're thinking, right, we're 6 points ahead with three tries apiece. What do we do? I think you were at the time calling for sticks. I probably would have done the same thing as well. I've got the messages to prove it. If I'm still allowed on the Twitter account, I can publicise.
Don't remember saying sticks, absolutely sticks, got to win this game.
Yeah. fair play. I mean, I was probably with you, to be honest, with heart rate up, fingernails bitten. Decide to back ourselves. No questions asked, really. Decide to back ourselves, go for the corner, and then just about get ourselves over the line through a Tom Dunn driving maul. But yeah, I mean, only because essentially Cam Redpath and Will Muir came in and kind of steadied the ship a bit with the front pods of the maul kind of heading right out towards the touchline. So just about get over the line. But ultimately, I think those, and then I think Finn Russell nailed the kick, so ultimately from right out wide. So I think ultimately those 13 points you know, some of which were during the yellow card, which so it was potentially a tough period. It came really from the set piece being shored up a bit. I thought Elliot Stoop was kind of key in that regard. A couple of scrum penalties, and then just backing our skills plus a bit of magic from Russell to add the extra three.
Yeah, that sequence of scrum pen, more try was the kind of felt like the key sequence in the game. I think both Alex Sanderson and Benno Urbano in their interviews post-match both mentioned that as the key turning point. And I think that that was right. You know, you look at this game and you think, you know, did we have a big impact off the bench? But in Kassir aside, we really held our bench back. And I think that's testament to the fitness of the guys. So I think Stukey came on for Quinn Roo. And I think all of the changes were made with about 10 and then a few with 5 minutes to go, and Archie Griffin got about 30 seconds. So, you know, in part the bench had an impact with Kutsir, but I think the fitness of the guys is what was key in that last period. You know, Urbano spoke about how much he was struggling. Thomas Atoy put in 79 minutes at Tighthead after not playing for 10 weeks. You know, Underhill put in 70 minutes having just been through the ringer with England. Ted Hill put in full, I think he might have even played the full 80 minutes, having not played for 5 months.
Yeah, good.
Fair play to those boys. The you know, the way in which they dug in and kind of went right to the end. Van Graan's changed the body composition of these players. We are no longer fading in these key periods. We are coming to the fore. And I think that was ultimately the difference in the two sides. And yeah, the way we were able to keep those key front five guys on allowed us to kind of assert that set piece dominance in that key period.
Yeah, I guess it does. I mean, you'd rather have the win wrapped up early doors and you can save those guys for what's a very tight schedule. But I agree, they're so much fitter, and they so we're having on a few occasions this season where it's been tight and we've just had the extra little bit in the armory to pull away. The other point I'd make, and the, you know, mentioned Sanderson interview after the game, he was saying that the tough thing about Bath and, you know, things other teams need to watch out for is that we can kind of score and punish you in any which way. And I thought we showed that, right? Like we've mentioned the attacking flair that we've shown, Finn Russell orchestrating it, Ollie Lawrence and Big Joe running the, you know, the Lions beating the defenders as they did. But up until recently, and I don't know if this still stands, the driving and maul has still been the chief try scoring weapon, and that is tough, right? You look at all the different styles in the league between the different teams, different conditions that we're going to face, different pitches, different referees, and it's really important to have a well-rounded game. And I think other sides don't probably have that in the same way that we do.
Yeah, maybe aside from Saracens, who looked worrying, threatening the day before. But a really good win, and Ollie rounded off with a try, a well-deserved try down the left. And big Joe nearly got his hat-trick when we were playing right to the death, even though I was screaming at them to kick it out to make sure Sale didn't get anything. Landy took his kick and hit the post.
I think the view is right that even points difference could be important. You don't expect them to hit the post, granted. One stat I wanted to chuck at you, I think we should keep an eye on this. We threw 20 offloads in that game. And I definitely think that is, well, that'll be a huge increase on what we've seen in previous seasons. And it's a way that we're getting in behind teams. And everyone's doing it. You know, it's not just the guys that we've been talking about, but in the lead up to, I think it was the first Big Joe try, you had Tommy Dunn and Sam Underhill both offloading. So it's everyone that's doing it, and it makes it so difficult to defend when you can get in behind teams and then get quick ball in the hands of Russell and others. So yeah, we're a good side to watch. We're an entertaining side to watch. It was a really entertaining game, I imagine, for the neutral. And yeah, fantastic win.
Russell, the standout, I think, for me, but I think, we mentioned all three of them individually, but I think the front row playing as long as they did was impressive, but also kind of speaks to just how important those three and with the addition of Stuart when he's fit are seen. And again, Spencer and Russell playing right up until the game was done, just highlights their importance and kind of how are we going to manage that is going to be key.
Walking off together as well, maybe that's an idea for a new profile picture or a cover photo. We like that moment. We know that we can relax when those boys come off, and yeah, a little high five, off they come. Ice, get iced up, boys. Job done. On to Quins.
On to Quins, exactly, Tom. Quins is our next game. We currently sit in second, just 2 points off Northampton, who faltered and played Saracens this weekend. Quins had, an alarming, I think, for them, performance on Saturday, losing 52-7 in the showdown, I think it's called, at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It was a combination of Saracens looking great and Quins just not really looking like they turned up after the break, and potentially a chance here for us to make a little bit of open water between us and the rest of the table. If you look at it, we're currently 5 points ahead of Quins, who are in fifth. So if we can just win again and perhaps the teams that are chasing falter, we may see a little bit of open water. It's interesting because all three of the teams that lost, that are in contention, are now at home this week. So obviously Harlequins at home against Bath, Northampton are at home against Saracens, and then Sale are at home against Exeter. So all three of those sides that probably didn't have a great weekend have a great chance to bounce back. So this whole kind of period is going to be fascinating. It's difficult to know really what to expect from the game that Bath have on Saturday at the Twickenham Stoop, because surely Quins can't play as bad as that again, and for them this becomes a massive, massive fixture.
Absolutely. I mean, they'll be looking to bounce back massively. That was embarrassing against their closest rivals. It really was.
We've been there.
I think, we have been there, and it's not a nice feeling. But I think, particularly with the lineup, it wasn't as if they had, they didn't field a strong side off the back of the Six Nations. They had a quality side out. And defensively, they looked absolutely dreadful. I think it showed with Quins as well. If you can get their pack going backwards, and Sarries certainly did that in all facets at a rate of knots. Sarries, a team that historically or this season haven't been that strong, particularly at scrum time. They had them flying backwards. I think if you can do that, the guys behind them in Kerr and Smith and beyond, they aren't anything like as potent as they are when they get quick ball and they get, they get their pack going forward. So I think that will be absolutely something that we need to try and target. I'd expect to see another 6-2 split, put the pressure on them as much as we can. But let's not forget, Quins still a good side. They are in the Prem fight. They're just outside the playoff spot in fifth place. So I think we'll still... Now some of the cobwebs have probably been blown away post-Six Nations. They'll have a tough training week, I would imagine. We need to bring some more intensity in that first hour than we did against Sale. The lineup needs to be better. We need to, get that physical dominance. And I think if we can do that, we can cut them to ribbons a little bit out wide in the way that Sarries were able to as well, because I think we've got the players to do so.
Yeah, important loss for them. I think Jerry Flannery moving on to South Africa, their defence coach, over the Six Nations period. They didn't look like they knew what they were doing defensively, unfortunately, for them. Tom, do you go full strength as a Bath fan, or do we see the odd change drop in here?
It's so hard, isn't it? I think you've got to look at it on a case-by-case basis of how players have pulled up after what was a pretty bruising encounter. You've got, for example, Alfie Barbary, who can't train for a couple of days. Just give him a rest or stick him on the bench and let's see Kutsia come into that H. I'd still be wary about playing guys like Sam Underhill again. Miles Reid potentially come back into that shirt. Potentially we'll see an outing for our newly signed lock in Jacques Duplessis. Very pleased to see him kind of signed for this season and with an option for next. Will Stewart, if fit, I'd expect to see potentially come in the back line. I mean, potentially do you see Rory McConachy come back in, but then I guess those guys haven't played a huge amount as well. Tom de Glanville still injured, so you'd expect to see Matt Gallagher at fullback. Maybe you see Max come back in to the centres. Obviously kind of an easier selection dilemma when you're only playing, as I assume they will, two on the bench. So I expect changes at the fringes depending on how players pull up, but the core of the front row of Spenny and of Finn Russell, Matt Gallagher at the back, I'd expect to see again.
Yeah, so Quinn's away this weekend, and then the Champions Cup last 16 against Exeter the following week. Exciting times, Tom, to be a Bath fan. Lovely to have the Premiership back. And as predicted by me last podcast, Bath are expected to be announcing a few more re-signings this week. So watch this space. We'll have all of that news, all of the kind of review from the Twickenham Stoop in our podcast next week. So hit subscribe, share the podcast. If you're going to the Stoop, enjoy it and stick behind the boys through thick and thin.